Now, we've all had a good supper. Are we ready? Good evening. Excellent. I shall take that memory with me as we return tomorrow to our home. Now, let me say how much we've enjoyed being with you. We've had beautiful weather. You know, almost every time in the past that we have come, the rain has come along with us. But this time the Lord was pleased to overrule. We've had excellent weather. And even better than the weather has been the fellowship of the saints. We thank you for the invitation. We have enjoyed it, and in the will of the Lord, look forward to meeting with you again. Remember this. The same transportation that we took to come north also goes south. I don't say any more. Now, our subject tonight is no compromise. We're in a world where they're telling us, oh, don't be so strict, don't be so different. Fraternize. That's what they used to tell me. I remember at one meeting, scientific meeting, and you know they usually serve what they call a collation before the meeting. At that collation, you don't use your teeth. It's largely a liquid collation. And every time I would come in, they say, oh, here's Garns. He doesn't drink. No compromise. Let's not compromise. Now turn with me, please, and we will look at a few scriptures. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7. Book of Exodus, chapter 3, and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. Now, this is not part of the subject, but I'm going to mention it. The Lord said, I have seen their affliction, I've heard their cry. And they were in dire slavery. And I think, beloved, that we need to be careful today how we act concerning those things with which we do not agree. God did not say, I have seen you with placards in the streets saying, liberty, liberty, freedom. He said, I have heard your cry. And I am convinced that if we want to see a change in this nation, we need to do more crying, more praying, and less placards all over the place. That's just in passing. I have seen the affliction of my people. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We are God's people. The Israelites were God's people at that time. We are now God's people. In the world, but not of the world. God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We belong to God. We are His people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. And back in Maryland, it was last Wednesday, or was it last Sunday? Among the many things, we were considering the Word of God, and as it's pointed out in 2 Corinthians, we are to carefully divide, rightly divide, the Word of truth. And one of the things that we saw is this. Read exactly what's in the Bible. Don't try to get any extra meaning. Just read what's there. Now let's read this verse, 19 of 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which ye have of God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. This physical body does not belong to us. We are God's people. He paid for it. The implications are serious. If this body is his body, we should only go where he wants us to take this body. If this body belongs to him, oh, this is serious. We should only put into this body what he wants to go in. I won't say any more on that. If this body is his body, we should put on it only those things that he wants on it. You see, the implications are very serious for everyday living. We belong to him. If this body is his body, we should only do those things with this body that he wants us to do with this body. It's quite a thing to belong to the Lord. My people. Satan's people always do what he wants. There isn't much trouble there. But we, as the Lord's people, we need to remember we belong to the Lord. Therefore, we cannot do everything that we want to do. We should not do everything that we want to do. We belong to him. We are to do what he wants us to do. But why has he set us apart as his people? What is the purpose of our being his people? Exodus chapter 5. Why did he set apart Israel as his people? Exodus chapter 5. Verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, why? That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness, that they may worship me." Chapter 7, verse 16, please. Why were they his people? What was his purpose in selecting them as his people? Chapter 7, verse 16. Thou shalt say unto him that is Pharaoh, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent unto thee, saying, let my people go that they may serve me. There are other scriptures. Do you know why God claimed us and saved us? First of all, that we might worship him, and secondly, that we might serve him in that order. Matthew chapter 4. This we know well. Remember, Satan, after 40 days of no eating on the Lord's part, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And one of the things that we read, verse 10, you might read the others, we just read verse 10. Why did God save us? Why did he call us his people? Verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What I want to emphasize here is this, that worship takes precedence over service. There are so many of us, we are anxious to serve, glad to serve, but more important, if I may put it that way, is worship. And that's why I enjoyed the meeting this morning. That was real worship. Occupied with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word worship, as you know, was originally worship. The worship of the individual. The worship of the Lord. You take out the TH and you get worship. And when we worship, we are occupied with him, his word. We're not asking for anything. As we did this morning, we occupied with him. Giving him the praise, the glory, and the honor, that takes precedence over all the service that we may render. There are some believers who are serving the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord, but they don't worship him. And then some of them say that they are worshiping, and they are not worshiping. Spoke to a certain person, this happens often. Oh, we had a wonderful worship meeting this morning. Yes, what happened? What did you do? The pastor preached. That's not worship. Now, he may preach well. I'm not saying that. But preaching is not worshiping. When we worship, we bring our praise offerings and offer them to him. And by the way, back in New York, I remember some saying, you know, we come to the worship meeting and we get the theme from the first hymn. That's wrong. When those Israelites came to worship at the tabernacle or the temple, they brought their offerings with them. And when you come to the meeting, you bring your offering with you. Or you say, but if I bring my offering and he brings hers and she brings hers, then will there be confusion? Oh, no. Did you notice when the sister was playing the piano? Every key is in tune, and she decides which one is to touch, and we got harmony. And if we come with our praise offerings to the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit will so move that we'll have harmony and genuine worship. Did you experience it this morning? Nobody says anything. You did? Well, I surely did. It was wonderful. We are set apart to worship and to serve. Now, in order to effectively worship and serve, there is a divine requirement. Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. A divine requirement. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. They shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. Ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go now, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice. 3 days' journey. Complete separation. The Lord rose on the third day. We were saved, buried with him, and we rose, new creation. Complete separation if we are to effectively worship and serve. 3 days' journey. But this is where the enemy comes in. And we find his first attack on this particular thing in chapter 8 and verse 25. The Lord says, 3 days' journey. But Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Chapter 8 and verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice in the land. Don't be so fussy. Be one of the people. Why must you be so separate and so different? We are separate and different because God wants us that way. And we cannot be effective if we are not separate and different. Our greatest effectiveness is in our separation. Now, by separation, we don't mean that you go out of the world. You remember what the Lord said? I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but keep them in the world. Some people go up in monasteries, way up in the mountains. They say they are separated. What good is that to the unsaved? And then there is a place there, a convent in the Bronx in New York City. The rule is this. Any lady who goes in there stays there till she dies. Is that separation? Yes. But how effective is it to the world around? It is not separation from the world in the sense of isolation, but separation in the sense of being different and yet in the world, but not of the world. You've heard of the boat in the water? The largest ocean, to my knowledge, and I may be wrong, they may have changed their thoughts since I went to school, but to my knowledge, the largest ocean is the Pacific. I could be wrong. He says yes, so I'm up to date. See, I went to school way back. But the Pacific is still the largest. Now, you may go to Toys R Us. You have that over here. Yeah, you like Toys R Us.
Oh, sure.
Well, of course you like. I would like it too if I were your age. Now, you go to Toys R Us, you see, and get the smallest boat that you can find. and go over to the Pacific Ocean and put it on the ocean. And do you know that boat will sail nicely? The only time you will have trouble is if some water gets into the boat. But as long as there is complete separation of water from inside, the boat sails well. We are in the world, but not of the world. They like to show on TV hospital pictures. And more especially, they like to show doctors operating. People at large seem to be fascinated with seeing an operation. Those gory things with all that blood. Have you ever noticed when they operate that the doctor, in 99% of the operations, wears gloves? Not any glove, very special gloves. What's the purpose of the gloves? He wants contact without contamination. And that's our purpose in the world. Contact with the world, but not contamination by the world. And so those gloves have to be very special gloves, not any ordinary glove made out of special material, so that he is protected from any germs in the patient. At the same time, he can feel all the tissues. And from time to time, accidents happen, and the doctor's glove is punctured by a needle. The nurses usually pick that out. But they may not pick it out right away, and so he has punctured his finger while working, and the contact with the patient's blood, serum, whatever it is, gets through that puncture mark and into the doctor. What do you think happens? He becomes sick. Because he had contact, but there wasn't separation. Contact with contamination because of broken flow. We are in this world, beloved. We are in a position that God has placed as a separation. But there must still be contact. Maintain your separation, which without our separation, we become ineffective. Have you ever noticed in some of the pictures, a doctor is examining a patient through a stethoscope? They don't show too many of them on the TV. But what interests me is that there are some of these doctors that have the longest stethoscope possible. They don't want to get too near. They want contact, but they don't want contamination. And that should be our attitude. In the world, not of the world. God hasn't said, take them out. The Lord said, you're in it. And he prayed the Father, don't take them out of the world. Keep them from the evil. So that what we require, number one, is to sacrifice in land. Right here in this world where we are, God would have us to sacrifice. And we are most effective when we maintain our position of separation. Contact without contamination. Verse 28, chapter 8. Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only don't go too far away. Do you see what's happening? The Lord said 3 days. Pharaoh says, oh, you don't have to go. And then he says, well, if you must go, don't go too far away. Don't get too separated from the world. Be one of the folks. Don't be so different. They ever tell you that in school? You're so odd. You're so different. That's a compliment. You're supposed to be that way as a child of God. Now, you may feel a little embarrassed. Maybe one day I'll either tell you or write a book about that. I could tell you a lot about that. But you maintain your separation. I want to assure you that God will bless you and those same people will respect you. Maintain that separation. Don't go too far away. Read with me, please, in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Oh, I'm not going to give you the verse. Matthew chapter 12. Now, it is usually said, he that is not for me is against me. is that scripture. He that is not for me is against me. Is that quoting the scriptures correctly? What does the scripture say? 12 and 30. He that is not for me is against me. Is that what your Bible say? With me. There are a whole lot of believers who are for the Lord, but they're not with him. They have lost their identity, mixed out in the world. They don't want to be too different. They don't want to be thought of as too different. They want to be thought of as contemporary and educated. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer. But, you know, we've got to keep muttering. I'll give you an example. Oh, this must have been 14 or 15 years ago. And my wife went up to New York to a conference for the sisters at that meeting. And I remained at home and went to an assembly. Had a nice worship meeting, like the one you had here this morning. Beautiful. And so they said to me, your wife is away. Come and we'll all have dinner together. I don't think there are probably as many people as you have in the center row here. Center section. And so we went to this believer's home to dinner. And we got into conversation. Now, mark you, believers gathered just as we are, believing theoretically as we do, and we got into a discussion. Do you know that every one of those believers believed that evolution was the method that God used to bring this earth and universe into existence? Yeah. And just had broken bread as we did this morning. Now, it's interesting what they call themselves. You see, they want to be felt, we are up to date, we are modern, we are up with the most recent scientific discoveries. What do they call themselves? Do you know what they call themselves? Theistic evolutionists. Now, I've said before, anytime you get a combination of words with more than four syllables, be careful. And these words that almost make you bite your tongue, we ought to watch it. Theistic evolutionists. That means we believe in the Bible, but we are up to date. We are current with the scientific things, and we also believe in evolution. And it can't be. And those that don't call themselves theistic evolutionists call themselves progressive evolution, or progressive creationists. I warn you about those polysyllabic words. Well, read the Bible. The Lord never spoke a word with more than four syllables. And we read in Luke that the common people heard him gladly. He didn't talk like the Pharisees. They used those long words. Watch those fellows with the long words below. You keep with the word of God. Your separation is to be complete. Don't try to lose your identity. Well, yes, I'm a Christian, but I go along with the latest findings in science. Which science? Science or science falsely so-called? And there are a lot of things today that they call science that are not science at all. Don't try to be current with the world. Maintain your difference. And you know something? They'll catch up with you. Yeah. They'll catch up with the Bible. Now, I probably have told you this before. There's several things that I could say, but all right, here's one. Show you how up to date the Bible is. When Columbus took his trip around the world, what was he trying to prove? Yes. Ah, beautiful. He wanted to prove that the world was round. And why did he want to prove that it was round? What did most people think? Sure, and if you came to the edge, you'd fall off. What did Isaiah say about the earth and the shape? He called it a circle or a sphere. What did David say? He said the same thing. And I think it was Ezekiel that said the same thing. That was in the Word of God long ago. But all these other people had some other ideas. The Greeks, smart as they were, a man named Atlas held the world up. And another smart bunch, two elephants were holding the world up, and every time they moved their feet, we had an earthquake. And all the time, it was in the Bible. Don't be ashamed of this book. They will catch up. Have another favorite one. What's CPR? Anybody? We have some nurses. What is CPR? That's a nice long word. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Doesn't that sound impressive? Well, if you can do that, you're all right. Now, when I went to school 50 years ago, we were told that you put the patient face down, you see, and do whatever you were supposed to do. In the last 20 years or so, we have learned that you do better if the face is up. Am I right? Am I right? How did Elijah do it? Face up or face down? Face up. Way back there, he knew that, and it took us all these years to learn the same thing. Oh, this is a wonderful book. Don't try to be so scientific that you lose the truth and the value and the beauty of the book. And where scientists don't agree with the Bible, it is simply because they haven't learned enough yet. And if God spares the life, they may get there. But you take what's in here, and you'll never go wrong. Your separation is to be complete. Pharaoh says, in the land. Then he says, not far away. Don't be so different. Stay close. You be different. Oh, they'll point the finger at you. And young people, don't be ashamed. Story is told of a young girl. And you know, in the springtime, they have these proms for the graduates. You know, ladies get dressed up in these beautiful looking clothes and all that sort of business for the prom. Well, there was this Christian girl. And prom season was approaching. And she was asked, aren't you going to the prom? No, I'm not going to the prom. What's the matter with you? Everybody's going to the prom. How would you feel? You know what this young Christian said? Everybody is not going to the prom. I am somebody, and I'm not going. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed of his word. And he'll reward you. Them that honor me, I will honor. We looked yesterday at Daniel, and we considered those three Hebrew men who stood for the Lord even if they would have to die for it, and God honored them. Young folks, honor the Lord. If it's in here, do it. Don't seek to be close to the world. One day's journey is not enough. But we go on to chapter 10. All these are proposals for compromise. Chapter 10 and verse 11. Oh, yes, this is nice. Not so, says Pharaoh. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord. But leave the women and the children behind. What is that? And we have plenty of it today. The breaking up of the family. Men, you are responsible for the spiritual care and growth and development of your family. The Lord said to Abraham, I know him that he will train his family after me. Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Men, you, this isn't Father's Day, is it? But we mean men need to learn this. God holds you responsible for your family. And that is one of the things that Satan is doing today, breaking up families. So many mothers, what do they call them now? Single parent families. And most of the time, the single parent is the mother, and the man is off somewhere. That's not the divine pattern. Maintain the divine pattern. You know, the word families, how many times do you think the word family occurs in the word, in the Bible, either singular or plural? More than 270 times. Must be an important word. Families. And these folks that are breaking up these families, they have a new definition. Do you know the new definition of a family? You must have read it recently. A family is defined by the American Economic Society, Home Economic Society, as two or more persons who share commitments regardless of blood, legal ties, adoption, sex, or marriage. As long as you decide to live together, you're a family. Pretty sad, isn't it? Maintain your separation. Don't get into that particular thing. No compromise. Oh, but the next one is something. 10 and 24. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go serve ye the Lord only. Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones go with you also. Moses said no. Why did he say no? Because they were primarily shepherds. Pharaoh is saying, all right, you go, but leave your business with me. They said no. Be careful of your business practices, beloved. They are not to be the same as those in the world. We had a brother in New York, and he was in business, and it was complained that he was not very kind to the believers. Not that he expected, or the believers expected to pay. But he always charged more. And then when they complained, he said, brother, this isn't the assembly, this is business. No, that's not the way you do your business. Separation must characterize our business. You know the story of Joe the Butcher? Have you heard the story? Haven't heard the story of Joe the Butcher? Saturday night, business was good. Joe had one chicken left. Lady came in, Joe, I want a chicken. Put it on the scale, waited. Have you got a larger one? Comes back with the same chicken, puts his finger on. Joe, I think I'll take both of them. Let your separation characterize your business practices. Your business is part of your testimony. No compromise. We don't practice like the people on the outside. Story is told of a little boy. He was an apprentice. And the boss went out, and a customer came in and said, you know, your boss is out, just give me a little more. You know what this youngster said? My boss is always present. He was serving as unto the Lord. We need to be careful in our business practices. There must be no compromise with the world. No matter how it may hurt, no matter how bitter it may be. And I think of my father, oh my, he was a godly man. And he was a businessman. There was some business transaction, and in that transaction, I don't remember the details, but it was so worked out that he would have gotten $1,000 from this other man, which he didn't deserve. And his lawyer thought, oh, I've achieved something. My father said, no, you let him have $1,000. And that man and my father remained friends until he passed. Practice the practices of teachings of the Word of God. And don't compromise. You remember Hezekiah? Wonderful king, he compromised. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent to him and said, now if you don't give me certain things, I'm going to beat you up. You know, like a little bully. Or big bully. That's what it amounted to. And what did Hezekiah do? He took all the trimmings off the Lord's house and gave to Sennacherib and apologized for upsetting him. That's not a way for a Christian to behave. stand on 2 feet and stand for the Lord. And in Ephesians it says, having all, done all, remain standing. Well, now Hezekiah thought that he had taken care of things. Do you think he did? Sennacherib came back the second time. And what did Hezekiah do? Why, Sennacherib sent some men to speak evil, and he also sent a letter. And what did Hezekiah do? He sent for Isaiah and said, you start praying and get all the people to pray. He went into the temple, opened the letter before the Lord, and presented the matter to the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll take care of it. And that night he sent an angel and destroyed all of Sennacherib's army. No compromise under any circumstances. Don't compromise. And you know the old English saying? If you give a man an inch, he'd take an L. That's about 25 to 30 inches. You know those fellas? There's also a saying that if you let a man sit on your shoulders, the next thing you know, he'd be on your head. Don't compromise. Don't let evil in. There is a tree in Florida that interests me very much. It's called the banyan tree. Anybody here familiar with that? You must be. Here. Oh, yes, Brother Fred brought me a nice picture of a banyan tree. The banyan tree. You can't have a banyan tree unless you have either a coconut tree or some other tree. And someone has put it in poetic form. There is the beautiful coconut tree. And the banyan seed falls down and hits the coconut tree and says, just let me stay here. I won't do you any harm. And the coconut tree agrees to it. And the next thing you know, the banyan, that little seed, is sucking all the energy of the coconut tree and spreading out and spreading out and spreading out and then spreading down. Those roots that go down. And before you know it, what was once a tall palm tree is now a spreading banyan tree. And that's the way compromise acts. And that's the way sin acts. You give it a little blade and it'll take over. It's interesting down there in Florida what they do with the banyan trees. You know what they're doing? They trim them and make them real attractive. And that's what Satan does. He takes sin and makes it real attractive, but it's still sin. No compromise. We have a, what should I call it? A tear. A weed, the dictionary describes it as a vicious weed called the Japanese honeysuckle. And there is your nice plant, your lovely tree. And the Japanese honeysuckle starts and turns around and goes around and chokes. And I remember when we first went down to Maryland, I was taking some of these things, pulling them off the trees and so forth. And I said to my neighbor, what's the best way to handle these things? She said, do just what you're doing. And I remember one tree from which I took this honeysuckle. And it had ripped that tree so fast. 15 years later today, you can still see where it had encircled the tree. That's the way sin acts. You've heard the story of the camel and his master? Beautiful example of how Satan acts, and what compromise will do. Well, you know, they have a lot of camels in the Middle East, desert regions. And this master had his camel. Now, in the daytime out there, it is very hot. But at the nighttime, in contrast, it gets very cold. So night came, and the master set up his tent. And he was in there keeping warm. The camel was on the outside. Now you know the rest of the story, don't you? Camel put his nose in, master. It's cold out here. May I just warm my nose? You know the rest. You can figure it out. The next thing, his neck was in there. Then the next thing, the front limbs. Then the body was in, and then he was in. And had the audacity to look and say to the master, you know, there isn't enough room here for both of us. I think you better get out. Compromise. Don't do it, beloved. It'll take you and ruin you. There is to be no compromise. All right, 7:23. We started at 6:30, so it's time to stop. Let me read you one more on this matter.
Of course,
maybe two more. A bear hunter came upon a bear calmly eating berries. As he took aim to shoot that bear, he stepped on a twig. The sound of the twig alarmed the bear, who looked up and saw the gun. Very unusual, bear, he said, stop. Why do you want to shoot me? I'm just out to have a meal. Can't we sit down and discuss this? Being a reasonable, well-educated, civilized man, and also curious about the bear's ability to talk, the hunter accepted the animal's invitation. Sitting down, he told the bear that he was hunting because he wanted a fur coat. The bear said all he wanted was a meal. Soon, hunter and bear were in deep discussion, trying to find a compromise to solve this problem. Sure enough, one was found. The bear had his meal, and the hunter was inside a fur coat. Compromise. Don't do it, beloved. Stand firm for the word of God. Whatever this word says, stand firm. And Revelation in the Church of Smyrna says, be faithful even if you have to die for it. Read it in Hebrews 12. The number of people that died for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wouldn't give in, that wouldn't yield one iota. Things are getting worse in this land. I have said it, and I'm more and more convinced, but we are yet going to be persecuted in this great land of freedom. We Christians, you know that the media, in all of its expressions, newspapers, radio, TV, all of the media is against the Christians. All of the media is against the Bible. There's a certain broadcaster, telecaster, I don't remember his name, but he is a Christian, fine man, and he speaks with courage. And in an article, he said that he was asked to engage in a exchange of thought with somebody else. But they said to him, don't bring a Bible and don't quote the Bible. Well, that's all your defense. Do you see what they're doing to us? And in the schools, not at eighth grade, preschool, they're teaching them, do whatever you want, do whatever you feel like doing, everything is all right. Anything but what's in this book. Difficult days are coming, beloved. Stand up for Jesus. Don't compromise. Oh, help us, Lord, that we may rise above that foe called compromise, that in our hearts we may despise the dread disease of compromise, that we may never in surprise give way to that called compromise, that in our souls we recognize the scourge of life dread compromise. Oh, help us, Lord, not to surmise, but look it straight between the eyes. And ere it die, Lord, hear our cry, no compromise. That's the message. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we bow in thy holy presence, and how we give thee thanks for the freedom that is ours in this land, even at this time, to meet thusly unmolested, none daring to molest us, together around thy word. But things are changing, Heavenly Father, and thou knowest. And we, thy people, need to stand firm and to remain standing. We trust that our little discussion this evening will help us, in spite of the difficulties around, the vicissitudes, the problems, that we may stand firm for thee on thy word. No compromise. Bless each one who is present. We shall soon be leaving this sacred enclosure. Take us home in peace and safety, we pray. Grant thy blessing upon all, as we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now shall we sing just one hymn, please? The singing has been good tonight. In fact, it was good this morning and this afternoon. 500. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Shall we rise, please?